Have you ever heard of a nutritious way of boosting your fertility? I never heard of anything like this before, up until I heard of Lauren Allen Nutrition. Today, I'm going to be joined with Lauren Allen, who is a certified nutrition coach who specializes in women's fertility. And she found a way to heal her own self using food and just changing her lifestyle habits to get pregnant naturally as well, after struggling for a while and learning about her own diagnosis of PCOS. Today, Lauren has her own personalized program for helping women get pregnant naturally as well, using diet, lifestyle habits, and she also does private coaching as well, and I hope you enjoy it. So hello, Lauren.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you too. I have to admit that before I met you, I never realized that food has such a correlation with fertility.
I didn't know either. I went down my whole journey. I mean, most of us have no clue. It's so funny. I mean, it's not really funny, but it's crazy.
Yeah, like I remember my sister telling me back in the day how it's important to eat healthy, you know, so that you have more viable eggs and just more fertile body. But like, until I saw you and your program and what you're doing on your page, I was like, wow, this lady takes it seriously. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about, how did you discover it? Like, where were you in life? How old were you? Tell me.
Yeah, sure. So I was like 22 when I got married, and I had been trying to get pregnant for over a year when it was just not happening successfully. And eventually I went down the whole conventional route, which is like, you know, you see your doctor. I actually saw my doctors earlier than a year because I was nervous from the beginning. I was like, why am I not getting pregnant? And I went at 6 months, I went at 9 months, and they kept saying, you're young, you're healthy, you should be fine. I'll also add, for people who, you know, they can't necessarily see me, I'm thin. I've always been at a healthy weight. I've never had any like major red flags in my health issues. And so they were like, you know, just keep trying, try to relax and it'll happen. And it didn't happen. And eventually I ended up going to a fertility clinic where they looked at my blood work and my ovaries and were like, immediately, you have PCOS, you have polycystic ovary syndrome, you're going to need fertility treatments, you're not going to get pregnant naturally. And it was very shocking to me because, again, I had never dealt with health issues before. It was pretty scary to hear a doctor say, you're not going to get pregnant naturally. But I was also like, okay, you know, people go through this, people do fertility treatments. So like, I guess that's going to be our story. And that's what it is. And I have to gear up because that's what we're going to do. And I thought, like, I was so naive. I thought you go into that appointment, you get some kind of prescription after to get pregnant. Like, I didn't really understand how it worked. And then they're like, no, we have to do all these preliminary tests and decide which treatment we're going to start with. And if this doesn't work, we're going to move to that. And if that doesn't work, we're going to move to IVF. And I was like, what do you mean if it doesn't work? Like, what are you talking about? I'm here to get pregnant and have a baby. And the doctor was like, I mean, I think he meant it in a nice way, but he was like, oh, honey, like, that's not how it works. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And I felt really, really crushed at the thought of how long this might take. And I had already been at the point where I was like losing my mind. I was heartbroken every time, you know, I saw a negative pregnancy test and felt like everyone around me was just popping up and getting pregnant every second. And I was like, I need to do something. So I started doing all this research at home on PCOS, and I saw all these crazy stories about how people changed their diets and ended up getting pregnant naturally. And at the time, to me, it sounded very woo-woo and wacky and alternative. And I always tell people, like, I'm not a crunchy girl. It's not my vibe. But I was like, listen, I am desperate. I have to wait to start the treatments anyway. It was also the beginning of COVID, so things had been getting pushed off. And I was just like, let me do something. So I started making changes in the way I was eating. And I should add here, because I always share this when I share my story, I was really a sugar addict. Like, I just thought because I was thin, I could eat cookies for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I was really into baking. So I wasn't just like having regular cookies. I was having like fancy schmancy, really well-made cookies. I had like four types of flour in my home all the time to like make the best perfect cookie or souffle or cookies or whatever. And it was a really, really major lifestyle change for me to start eating vegetables and healthier proteins and cut out a lot of the sugar and, you know, all the processed foods. That was really, really hard for me. But within a couple of weeks, I was actually already noticing changes. Like, I had always had a lot of skin issues. Mm-hmm. I had always dealt with eczema on my face, especially around my eyes. And it really would like, it would crack and bleed. It was so painful. And I needed steroid cream to deal with it. So that was also just like part of my daily routine. I would put like frozen bags of veggies on my eyes in the morning because they were so puffy, and then put on my steroid cream. And I woke up one day and like, it was just gone. It was the weirdest thing. I remember I woke my husband up at 6 a.m. I'm like, you don't understand. It's like someone redid my eye skin over my eyes. Like, this is the craziest thing. Cause it had been like, not something again, that was like taking over my entire day, but it was this little thing that crept in there. And then I started noticing more changes. My digestion was much better. I had a lot less stomach aches. I noticed my anxiety. I'd always had anxiety, and that was starting to get much, much less. I'd always dealt with insomnia, and that was going away. I was just falling asleep. And then my periods started regulating, because before this, my periods had been pretty irregular. I got them like every 60 days, which if you're trying to get pregnant is really annoying because it means you're not ovulating so often. And then I was like, okay, my period's regulating. You know what? The doctor was like, okay, if you got your period, we're ready to come in and start the first round of ovulation inducing drugs. And I said, you know what? I'm just like, I don't know. I had this voice in my head that was like, just give it one more month. Like, your body's clearly responding, even though I didn't like believe in it really. I was like, something's happening. So let me just wait one more month. And I ended up getting pregnant then on that cycle. And I had my daughter about today's her English birthday, 3 years ago. Wow. And so when that happened, I was just like, why didn't anyone tell me about this? I've been sitting here trying. It's been, you know, like almost 2 years, like, why didn't anybody tell me about this? And so that's when I started saying, I really want to understand more. And I started taking all these classes and courses and reading books about nutrition and women's hormone health. And then I ended up doing a certification course and just sharing about this. I shared my story on Instagram. I shared with friends, and people were like, oh my gosh, I know so many people struggling with this. So many women are struggling to get pregnant. None of us knew that food could be a factor. And when you're looking at possibly doing fertility treatments, it's really like, it's time intensive, it's invasive, it's expensive, it's painful. And when you feel like that's the only way, you know, okay, you're going to do it if you're desperate to build your family. But to know that there's something else you could be doing every day at home within your own environment, and it not only like will help with fertility, but makes you feel so much better. I was feeling amazing. I was like, everybody just needs to know that this is an option. So that's how I got here. That's what I set out to do.
That's incredible. You know, you kind of reminded me when I was growing up, I always had like my friends in school who would eat whatever they want, and they always stayed such sticks. And I think like when you, so I kind of hated you when I was like in first, second grade, just kidding. I'm not anymore, but like, I think only when you get older and only when you become an adult and a mom, you start realizing that like food, it's not just about being skinny. It's really about fueling your body. What I want to know is, so share with us some of these secrets of what to eat, what not to eat. How do you get pregnant naturally with the food you eat?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I just have to make one comment on what you said, because I also had always, for my whole life, I thought like food was connected to weight. And I remember the doctor said to me, you know, had you been overweight, you probably would have gotten diagnosed with PCOS much earlier, because you had a lot of symptoms. And I remember feeling like, oh, so this whole idea of like weight equals health is so incorrect. And it hurts everybody, because obviously women in larger bodies face so much discrimination and so much just like negative bias. And there's so much there that I don't even feel like we can unpack right now. But then also people in thinner bodies are just presumed to be healthy when that might not be the case. And everybody loses out when we have this really simplistic picture of healthy weight equals overall health. And that's just something I've brought so much into my work and try to highlight on my page. Like, I also ended up later on getting diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I don't look like someone who has type 2 diabetes, but I do. And I have to be really careful about my sugar levels. And I think it's important to know that like these things really don't have a look to them. So that I always like to put that out there. I think it's so important for women to know and to hear. Definitely. That you can be healthy on your sides. And I always like to say you could also be unhealthy at any size. It doesn't matter if you're a size two, you might be unhealthy. So,
right.
In terms of what we could do. So I always tell people it's a lot more about the way that we eat than what we actually eat, because so much of our hormones and so much that has to do with our egg quality is really based on things like keeping our blood sugar balanced and keeping a healthy gut microbiome. And so there are these specific foods that we know have been shown to be really helpful for boosting your egg quality or for pregnancy, like, you know, lots of different fruits and veggies. Brazil nuts are one of those random foods that you could just like add to your shopping list. They're really high in something called selenium, which is really good for your egg quality. So like 2-3 Brazil nuts a day, that's an easy one to just add into your routine if you're trying to get pregnant. Like I tell my clients, take it with your prenatal. It's literally like a vitamin. It's so high in
selenium.
Mineral. Yeah, it's great. Other things that are going to be really helpful are really good quality proteins. So good quality meat, chicken, liver is a big one that I tell my clients about that they're like, are you serious? Because liver is really, really high in iron. And so many women tend to run anemic and they are low in iron, which means that oxygen is having trouble getting to all of your cells. And those cells that are producing estrogen and progesterone and helping build up your eggs, they need oxygen to do everything. So there are definitely a lot of specific foods out there that you can say, okay, like this has a lot of that. And that kind of goes into the recipe of making healthy eggs. But I think the overall way that you're eating, like generally eating, you know, cleaner foods, not a lot of highly processed foods. I hate to say it for all the other fellow sugar addicts out there, but like we know that sugar, especially high fructose corn syrup, a lot of excess white flour, it's just not helping our hormones work efficiently. It's not great for our egg quality. So, you know, those, I would say you don't have to necessarily cut them out 100%, but really limiting them and not having them be the main staples in your meal. That's also something I see that helps for a lot of my clients is like changing what breakfast, lunch, and dinner look like. And okay, you know, the dessert here and there, the snack here and there, it's not the biggest deal, but like making sure that your main meals are really balanced and you have protein and fiber and, you know, lots of really nourishing foods in each of those, that is going to really make a huge difference. And focusing on that is so much more important, in my opinion, than focusing on what to cut out. Because I do see a lot of people saying like, you know, I tried going gluten-free, I tried going keto, I tried going sugar-free. And I'm like, okay. And what were you eating? Like, what were you actually eating at the meals? They're like, oh, I don't know. I felt like I couldn't eat anything. So I was like having a cucumber here, a banana there. Like they weren't really eating properly fueling meals. And so it's just as much about what you do eat as what you don't eat. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. The first thing that I thought of when you said is how you eat is also how you eat your meals, like not too rushed and not too fast. Like, I think it's also about how the manner of how you eat.
Totally. I've actually seen really interesting studies talking about chewing and how just when you chew your food properly, you're sending in properly already pre-digested food to the stomach. And then your stomach doesn't have to work as hard and the nutrients get absorbed so much easier. So I'm someone who could like bite off a hunk of, I don't know, let's say like broccoli or something and just send it down. And ideally you're really supposed to chew something like between 30 and 40 times before you swallow.
Yeah.
Which if you're a fat eater, that feels like it goes against your nature. It's really hard. And I've done exercises in mindful eating where I really try to force myself like chew 30 or 40 times, learn what it feels like to sit and eat slowly and really savor the experience and the taste of food. And not only is it healthier, like we know it's good for our gut microbiome, but you really appreciate food more. You're so much more in touch with your hunger and your fullness and the experience of eating. And it's really, it's a very different way to eat than, you know, we're like eating on the go, grab and go breakfast, eating while we're in the car and driving or on the phone and watching something, which I think a lot of us end up doing these days.
Yeah. It always drives me so crazy when I'm in the middle of eating and someone asks me a question. Like it always happens at the Shabbos table, you know, you just take a bite of like the delicious chicken and they're like, oh, so what do you do for a living? And I'm just like, let me finish my food, you know, and,
totally.
And like I think it's underrated. I think people need to pay more attention. Yeah. They need to pay more attention. Like don't ask inconvenient questions at inconvenient times. You know, I remember I once.
because they're always like, mommy, I need more water. I need this. I need that. And I'm like, I just sat down. I just like put the fork near my mouth. And I feel like I'm always running up and getting. So I'm trying to train them. Like when we sit, we're sitting at the table.
That is such an important practice. So
yeah.
The first time that I really conquered that was when I went to a silence retreat for 4 days. And like, I remember just sitting there being able to eat in peace, no one bothering me or asking questions, and just sitting and eating. And it was like, I remember that was the one thing I was most grateful for. Maybe that's the only reason I really had to go to that retreat to experience the feeling of like just eating.
Wait, I need to get all the details on this because I've been really wanting to do one. I mean, whatever, we could also talk off air about it, but I am so curious about things like silent retreats. I feel like it's such a great exercise in so many things, and like learning about yourself and getting better at being still with yourself. That's so cool.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's really a really special practice. I recommend it for everyone to go do it. There's actually an organization in Israel called Or HaLev, and they do retreats revolving around Judaism. So they give you different guided meditations with just,
yeah, I have to check this out.
Yeah, you should. And it's just really incredible, I think, for your well-being. So just pace yourself to learn how to deal with your, just like to process your emotions, let them go through. One thing that I learned from it was that back in that day, I was a avid runner. I used to go running every single day. And I remember that on the street retreat, you weren't allowed to go running. And it was really, really frustrating for me. And like throughout the retreat, they had this like one meeting every other day where people can like discuss what they're going through. And I remember saying, wow, I feel this really intense feeling of like how, like, I'm just really frustrated about this. He's like, can you describe it? And I was just like, I feel like it's like cobwebs on my face building up, and like these oils that like, I need to like go and like run them off and just like let go of this. And yeah, so that's something I definitely recommend for everyone. And I want to get back to this pregnancy thing. So, okay. So this all started when you were 22 years old, right?
Well, I didn't start changing the way I was eating. I think I got married when I was 22. I started trying when I was around like 23, almost 24. And then it took a couple of years. So it was like my mid 20s where I was kind of going through all of this.
Right. And now you're like approaching 30.
29.
Yeah. What a great age. Really, what a wonderful age. So we're talking about how it's changing these habits. It's eating the selenium Brazil nuts, having high iron foods like liver, and just, I don't know, lots of fruits, lots of vegetables. Like, I'm trying to picture this program that you do. This, like, what kind of principles do you speak about in this program? What does it look like?
Okay, sure. So the way that the program works is that my goal is to teach women that it doesn't have to be overly complicated, but to learn what a meal will look like if it's going to benefit your fertility. So I kind of teach it on the basis of like, what macronutrients do we need? And then what micronutrients do we need? And also like, how do we kind of blend this all together? So, you know, we focus on how do we get enough protein? How do we get enough fiber? How do we get enough healthy fats? How do we get enough complex carbs? And we go through in the program, I really teach women, like, this is where you get it from. This is how much you can get. And then you could always just like put those foods together on a plate and make really simple meals. I do give out like recipe guides and meal plans and all those fun things, because a lot of people like to have the guidance on that and not have to think about, you know, what foods should I put together. And I'm also like, I'm such a foodie, so I love doing that and making it really delicious. And the best feedback I get is when people tell me like, oh, my husband's also eating all the food because like he thought I was doing this weird, crazy diet, but like all the food is just normal and healthy and like made with more wholesome ingredients and it's really filling. So like I meal prep for the week, but my husband ate half of it, which is always the best to hear. So we focus on those things first. And then I break down the different, I would say like strategies around how to eat. So I have a whole module on how to balance your blood sugar and like really getting into the nitty gritty of that, how to reduce inflammation, how to make sure that your gut microbiome is healthy for pregnancy. We know actually a lot of times, because, you know, we're talking so much about pregnancy, but one thing that's really important for women to know is, like, unfortunately, a lot of pregnancies end in miscarriage. And there's a lot also that has to do with your egg quality and miscarriage. So we know from research that many, many women who are experiencing recurrent miscarriages, they have some kind of undiagnosed gut health issue. And that can look like a different variety of things, but we really get into talking about, you know, how these different principles of, you know, making sure you have enough fiber and prebiotics and probiotics can really change your gut microbiome and enable that to affect your hormones and your egg quality. And that can help support a healthy pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So we kind of go through these different topics. I have, you know, I talk also about supplements. Supplements can definitely be helpful, especially because most of us are not, even if you're eating as well as possible, like, it could just be hard to get everything in. So we talk about supplements. We talk about also stress and how mindfulness and the mind-body connection plays a role, especially with fertility. I'm such a big believer in it. And the research also is there to back it up. So we have, you know, we really, like, go through these different topics and make sure that women, you know, are just, like, armed with all the knowledge that they need of how they can make these changes in a way that's, like, really actionable. So, you know, like, sometimes I think it just sounds, okay, eat healthier. People have a certain idea of what that looks like, but sometimes eating healthier for fertility is not the same thing as eating just general healthy. Like, I think a lot of people tend to think of, okay, I'll do low calorie. I'll, you know, try to eat more veggies, but, like, they don't know how to get enough fiber. They don't really know how to get enough protein. And sometimes you really need to just, like, sit down, learn it properly, and then you can implement it. And it's not that hard.
It sounds like when you're eating to get pregnant, it's less about the quantities. It's more about the nutritional benefits of the foods you're eating.
Yeah. And the whole system of how our cycles are set up to support ovulation is so amazing. And we just learned there are different things that our body needs. Like, we really need to make sure we're getting enough fat in order for our sex hormones to be working properly. We really need enough fiber to clear out the old hormones that don't need to be used anymore and need to get out of the body. And for so many women, especially who do have, like, an irregular cycle, maybe they're getting their period every 24 or 25 days, or they're getting it every, like, 40 or 60 or, you know, 70, something like that. We know that there's some kind of hormone imbalance going on there. And first we need to correct that in order to help boost the egg quality and then see, like, healthier pregnancies later on. And that's something also, I wish I at least knew this when I was starting to go through the whole process of fertility treatments, that the treatments don't really correct those issues. So if you're, you know, if you have some kind of irregular period hormone imbalance, something like that, the hormones that you'll get in fertility treatments, they'll kind of circumvent that. Like, they'll force you to ovulate. And sometimes that doesn't even work, but let's say they do force you to ovulate. There was a reason your body wasn't ovulating. That egg wasn't ready, or your body, your uterine lining wasn't thick enough. So often people are like, okay, we circumvented it. We got you to ovulate, but then the woman either doesn't get pregnant, or unfortunately the pregnancy can end in miscarriage. And so when you really go to treat the root cause and make sure every cell in your body is working properly, it's going to do its job. Like, this is what we're wired for. Women are literally, whether you want to have a baby or not, we are wired to get pregnant and be fertile and, you know, have offspring and produce genetically similar offspring that will pass on our DNA. Like, that is the evolutionary goal of females and males, honestly. So we're wired to do it. There's just so much going on in our environment nowadays that's not supporting our fertility. And it's just, like, getting back to the roots of, okay, what do we need to do to nourish our bodies? How do we integrate these things? And then I've seen it, like, thank God, dozens and dozens of times, that women are able to get pregnant naturally when they were told they weren't. And it's really just incredible.
Yeah, it really is incredible. I'm actually 34. I'm about to be 35. And I had my first baby 8 months ago.
And Basalto, wow.
Thank you. He came after a miscarriage. And I remember when I had my miscarriage, I was in such shock because no one really prepared me for how common it is for women to get miscarriages and to have them, like, you know, through and through. And I felt really broken because, like, you know, you get married. Finally, I got married at 32, and, like, I felt like my life is finally going on a roll. And here I am. I found my man and I got pregnant right away. And And then like, and every single day when you first get pregnant for the first time, you're like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. It's like the dopamine is like, it's like being released into your mind every day. And every day you're like fantasizing about this baby that comes. And then it was like, boom, a huge shock to the system when it came. And I was skeptical, like up until the end with my second pregnancy. And it was just like, also like, it was really not the easiest pregnancy. And like, now I'm in my mid 30s. And I am noticing that my body is different. That's why I started this whole series, is to learn more about the nutrition in the mid 30s. And a lot of my friends actually got married as well. Some of them are still single, and a lot of them got married also just in their early 30s, mid 30s. And I know that, you know, as you get older, it's not always easier to get pregnant. Some women are very lucky, some women aren't. And like you said in the beginning, when you saw all your friends like just getting pregnant left and right, when you want something, you start noticing it left and right. And where am I trying to end off here? Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to implement healthier foods into my diet, like just in general.
Can I just add something about, you know, the age factor? Because I think this is so important, especially if women who are older, I mean, I hate even saying that, but like women in their mid 30s and older are listening. First of all, I'm really so sorry to hear about your miscarriage. It's such a painful thing. And I so appreciate you talking about it openly, because I do think it's so common. I think it's about a third of pregnancies end in miscarriage.
Yeah.
And so for women to, like, it's so normal, and you know, you're not alone going through it, I think is just so important. So thank you. But there's also just so much stigma and so much pressure around the age and your biological clock and your fertility diving off a cliff at 35 and all these things that women have heard. And I think also what's really important to know for women is that part of why your fertility declines as you get older is because as you age, it affects the egg quality. But we know that it's not necessarily like every aspect of fertility and getting pregnant. Like, they've done these studies that if women use donor eggs from younger women, they have no problem getting pregnant. I'm not saying that that has to be everyone's solution, but what I want to say about that is there's a lot you could do. We can't control time and aging, but there is so much you could do to protect your egg quality. So really simple things like, again, eating nutrient dense foods. Again, Brazil nuts is like a really, happens to be one of those foods that, like, this is one that we've seen really does help benefit egg quality. There are also supplements. Like, I tell all my clients who are trying to get pregnant, like, it's an easy enough thing to do, but especially if you're 35 or older, there's something called coenzyme Q10. And this is a supplement that's been studied really, really well in a lot of different diseases, for like heart disease and kidney disease and all sorts of different health issues, but also fertility. And this is something you could get at any drugstore. The research on it is amazing. Like, it's really been shown to help boost your egg quality. And so that's something that you could be doing every day. You could go into a drugstore. Again, obviously, let me give my disclaimer, talk to your doctor before taking any supplements. The supplement industry is not regulated, but you could do your research and decide if you want to take that. Like, that's something that you could do that really does help protect your egg quality. And that's just something that you could be doing and say, like, okay, I know that I am also getting older, but I'm also taking all of these steps to reduce inflammation in my body and bump up my egg quality. And I would say for women who are, you know, in that phase where they're like, I really want to be more proactive about protecting my egg quality, that is like really a great way that you can be doing that. There's so much you could be doing. I've worked with women in their mid 40s who also had like other diagnoses on top of just being in their mid 40s. They had PCOS. They had hypothyroidism. They were told they would have to do treatments. And one of my clients, she took a break from treatments just to give herself like a little bit of a mental break, reset, and she got pregnant naturally. So it happens so often. And it's not to say like everybody is going to have it be like that. Some people do end up also using the tools of treatment and diet and lifestyle to help them get pregnant. But it happens really often that you are able to protect your egg quality well into your 40s. So, you know, I just want to like give that people.
I'm so happy you're so like out and about it. Would you recommend this treatment for women who aren't actively trying to get pregnant right now, who just want to keep their eggs viable and high quality?
So for sure, if someone is looking to do an egg retrieval and freeze their eggs, yes. I actually have many clients who are like, I'm preparing to do an egg retrieval. Can we work together for like, It takes about 3 months for an egg cell to fully mature. So I always recommend to people, like, if you know you're trying to get pregnant or like you want to get off the pill soon or whatever it is, you have an egg retrieval coming up, give yourself like 3 to 6 months to really allow for the dietary changes to impact your egg quality. This is not something that happens overnight, but I do recommend anyways trying to take care of your hormones and your health, because there are so many other ways that we haven't even touched on that affect you. But just when you're having healthy cycles and healthy ovulation, we know that it really affects your energy, your mood, like I said before, your skin, digestion, and all of these things have, you know, other kinds of effects later on in life.
Right. A woman who is in her mid-30s, how long after she tries getting pregnant would you recommend for her to go to the doctor and look into it further?
So I just always will recommend taking a proactive approach, because there are so many things that could be just nipped in the bud ahead of time. And I actually created this. This is now available in my program, a whole guide to labs that you should get checked before you're trying to get pregnant. And a bunch of those are your thyroid hormones, because we know with thyroid disorders, especially, first of all, they're super, super common. Women are much more likely than men to develop them. And women are also more likely to develop them postpartum. So sometimes women are like, okay, I had 2 kids in my 20s, no problem. They're not even thinking about having issues in the future, but you could develop a thyroid issue postpartum. And these are things that sometimes can also be treated with diet and lifestyle, but if there's significant damage to your thyroid, you might need thyroid medication. And I have seen so many women get to that point where like they end up waiting a year, then they get diagnosed with a thyroid issue, then they get the medication, things kind of snap into place and they're able to get pregnant. And I just feel like, why would you have to wait a year to do that? Like, get your lab work done earlier. You know, there's no harm in just going for most of these things. It's a simple blood test. And I always will recommend eating healthier. If you know, like you're already on, you know, on that journey of trying to get pregnant, I would say do it before you're in that place where it feels like there's a lot of pressure. Like I've worked with people in all stages of their fertility journey. And I do see there's something about the energy of working with someone who's like newly trying to get pregnant, or they know that they're going to try soon, where they're like, I just want to be proactive. I really don't want to have that whole story of like, it's so painful and it's so difficult. And listen, that was my story. Like, it was really, really hard for me, but I feel the most grateful when I can work with women at the very beginning of their journey, because I'm like, we don't even know what we prevented. We might've prevented so much pain. Listen, they might've gotten pregnant naturally early anyways, but like the fact that they went into the journey of trying to conceive, not being nervous and anxious, they're like, I'm doing all I can. I feel so great. I'm taking care of my health. Then they also go through pregnancy feeling good. They know how to take care of themselves postpartum, and we're creating healthier moms, which is so important.
So
I would say, I mean, if you want like the textbook answer, they say once you're above 35, I think after 6 months of trying, you should go to your doctor, and then they will normally tell you to start treatments. But again, I really want everyone to know, like, I'm not anti-medicine. I'm not anti-doctors at all whatsoever. I'm actually just very pro, like, let's do things that make the most sense with our time, resources, and money. And when you're doing fertility treatments that circumvent the root issue, they're less likely to work. So there are definitely cases where people need, you know, things like IVF. They actually won't get pregnant if they do IVF, or there could be different sorts of risks and dangers. But there are a lot of times when women could totally ovulate on their own, could have healthy eggs. They just, you know, need to make some changes in order to do that. So,
right.
Yeah.
And not only that, also males, also the husbands, you know, it's important for them to stay active, to go exercise, to watch what they eat, not to eat too much junk. You know, I think it's both of them.
I have a whole module on sperm quality in my program. I don't talk about it as much on Instagram and social media and in podcasts, because I know that honestly, most of the time, like, I'm speaking to women, they're the ones taking the changes in and integrating them. And I do see for a lot of people, when they start making healthier food, their husband kind of by proxy will start eating healthier, because that's what's around.
Yeah.
But sure, like, sperm is the other half of the equation. Even if you're doing everything perfectly, if you don't have good sperm quality, you can't fertilize the egg. So for sure, male factor fertility is so important. It's becoming also like a lot more spoken about now. I think in some ways, I feel like there's more stigma around talking about that. But yeah, it's definitely a really important piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, definitely. I think for men, it's more of an ego thing. So they're a little bit like, maybe it's less spoken about. I wanted to ask you, do you have a method of planning the sex of the baby?
Oh, no. People ask me about this all the time. Listen, I'm very much into like evidence-based research. Other than selecting specific embryos and IVF, we haven't seen any foolproof, like really scientifically backed method to, you know, making a certain gender, whether, you know, it's like different herbs or different positions. I know there's like all these things out there.
Yeah.
None of them by science. Listen, you have a 50-50 chance anyways. So when people have these anecdotal stories, like, I won't say I don't know. It could be that there's something to it, but at least nothing backed by science as of yet. Maybe one day.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. I also never thought it was real. So I just wanted to say that last week I was just chatting with a friend and I told her, hey, you know, I'm going to be speaking with Lauren Allen. She's like, oh, Lauren Allen. I know her from Instagram. And I saw one of her posts where the lady was like, I just finished your course a year ago and I just had my baby. And I was like, oh my God, that is so cool. So I think you're doing such an important job. And I think you should continue doing it and continue exploring and sharing it. And I just wanted to really just thank you. Thank you for being here today. And if women want to find you, how can they find you?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. If anyone wants to find me, they can find me at Lauren Allen Nutrition on Instagram. My website is laurenallennutrition.com. You can email me, laurenallennutrition@gmail.com. And if you want to learn more about my programs or the Empowered Path to Pregnancy, all the information is on my website and anyone is welcome to reach out and learn more.
Amazing. And if there's one last thing that you can share with women who aren't quite there, who've been trying to get pregnant and just like, they're like starting to feel old or starting to feel a little bit like lost or whatever, what is there that one thing you can tell them?
Just that I see you, I really see your pain. And I tell myself all the time, like if I had that crystal ball back then and I would have seen now, like, okay, one day, you know, you're going to be there with your daughter. And then, and now also like I have my son, you know, you'll know that it's whether you feel it right now or not, like things are happening for a reason. And I know that's so much easier to say on the other side of this challenge, but I could only say it in retrospect. Like I had a very hard time during my actual fertility challenges. I didn't handle it very graciously. I was very angry and very upset. But once I had my daughter, I really felt like I understood I needed to get to that point to be her mom. Like I needed to go through what I went through to be ready to receive her. And so I just like, I know it's so painful and I hope and I'm davening for you. You get to the other side and are able to be strong throughout it.
Man, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure speaking with you.
Yes, thank you so much.
That was literally one of the most interesting conversations I have had. I never realized that Brazilian nuts and thyroid problems were such a thing. And I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. And I would just like to put it out there that Lauren offers a guide on how to boost your egg fertility on her website for absolutely free. So go to allennutrition.com and that's where you can download the free ebook and look into it. You know, it's never too late or too early to start thinking about this. And I hope that you enjoy this podcast and that if you find anyone who you think might enjoy it as well, feel free to pass it on, to rate and share the podcast. And I'll see you on the next one.